So on this episode of Yours Mentally, we didn't talk about anything too technical or jargon heavy, but we learned so much more. This episode is not in tandem with our regular format where we have a therapist and we're talking about mental health. But we learned about two successful people's lowest lows and highest highs, their beliefs and learnings, and how they've put all of it in one place and built something together, the Level Supermind app. Level is a one-stop solution to growth and wellness. They provide neuroscience-backed tools like meditations, journaling, sleep stories, mind performance-boosting workouts like yoga, and a lot more. And what I personally really like about this app is that the meditations are available in all regional languages in India. So, to hear about meditation in a completely different light, the work done at Level Supermind, and how to work on yourself on a day-to-day basis and build yourself, I would really recommend you listen to this episode at full length. There was so much to learn from it, so much about meditation that I'd never heard of that Tanisha and myself learned. This episode is in conversation with Harshil Karya and Ayush Anand, the co-founders of Level Supermind. So without further ado, let's get right into the episode. And also, of course, don't forget to check out the Level Supermind app. Okay, now to the episode. So, on today's episode where we talk and essentially for Tanisha and myself learn about meditation, Harshil and Ayush, we've learned that both of y'all really believe in the power of meditation. We feel that there are many misconceptions that come with what meditation exactly is. So for y'all, what exactly is meditation?
Ayush, maybe you go on this one first.
Yeah, for sure. See, how I see meditation, if I have to packet it in one or two lines, I say ki for me, meditation is practice of pause. So what happens, we are always in a cycle of reaction. Something happens, we react. I started meditating, I started reading, I realized ki if we can increase the gap, the quality between action, that gap between action and reaction, the pause, if we can increase the quality of that pause, our overall quality of life becomes better, right? So the higher the quality of our response, better is the life of the people around us and us. So effectively, meditation is pause practice. And it's a tool to improve and increase the quality of the pause. I see it this way.
Right. Okay. Ayush, you put that really well. And Harshil, can I hear your views on the same?
Yeah, it's such a broad and a good question, right? So I think most philosophy talks about meditation as a tool that helps you act from your highest self at all points in time. Now, there's a reason why we can act from our highest self in all points in time when we're in a state of meditation, because that's when we really shut everything down and connect with the core of our purpose and the core of our soul. So for me, meditation is a tool that helps us act from our highest self, you know, and that's what it really enables us to do. So that for me is meditation. The ability to act from my highest self, or a tool that helps me act from my highest self. And I also agree with what Ayush has said about it being a pause between the stimulus and our reaction. So, you know, it has twofold benefits, I think, meditation. One is the fact that it has its benefit in terms of elevating you and elevating the potential of your mind. And second is it's also very good from a preventive mental health point of view. That, you know, because you have that pause between stimulus and outcome, you don't necessarily react brashly to things as much anymore. So that's the power of meditation. And then, of course, we could keep talking about also the neuroscience of meditation, because there's a lot of work on the neuroscience of meditation. So while that is, you know, what we spoke about is more broad in terms of the pause and the stimulus and, you know, the acting from the highest self, a lot of work is showcasing that what a consistent meditation practice is doing is that it is improving memory, it is improving focus, it is improving speed of cognition, and it is improving general resistance to stress. So, you know, I mean, and that's why I say that, you know, it's often looked at from as a practice. It is like, it is really the way to, you know, strengthen the mind as well as protect the mind. So that's why it's such a beautiful practice. And we can talk about the neuroscience of meditation as we go through this, you know, this podcast.
Right. Okay. So Harshil, I have one more question. So I know you believe that what Nike did to running, Level Supermind will do to meditation. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, so with Levis Supermind, you know, when Ayush, Ranveer and I were discussing the inception of this business, and, you know, all three of us were discussing about what really, in today's 2023 world, you know, if we had to build a global business that would really capture the imagination of people, we looked back and we said that one of the things as we move into a world where there are going to be increasingly more screens, where there are going to be increasingly more, you know, more clutter of information being thrown at us. So our purpose and our goal is to get as many people to get engaged in the practice of meditation as possible, which is why when you go to Level Supermind, you know, and I hope your listeners enjoy it when they go, because they've got a 7-day free trial. I hope what they will see is a lot of our effort is to help people start the practice of meditation. On the 1st of January, we launched a 21-day meditation series with just 5 minutes of meditation, because again, the science is showing us that just 5 minutes of a meditation practice every day can give you up to 60 to 80% of the benefits of a regular meditation practice. So we said, let people get into the habit for 21 days, because it takes 21 days to build a habit. And then we've got another introduction series, which is in English, which is in Hindi, Marathi, Gujarati, Bengali. So we've got a lot of various languages where we are introducing you to the idea of meditation, as well as introducing you to the practice of meditation. So that is what we are really, really focused on, to get many people started on the journey, because we're dead sure that once you start on the journey, the benefits will be manifold.
So I just had a question. So you just explained a few benefits of meditation, but as you said, meditation is very broad and abstract. So at what point can one realize that meditation is helping them in their life?
I mean, I think in whatever studies that we've seen, as well as people that we've interacted with, it's anywhere between a 63 to roughly 96 days of consistent practice where people start seeing drastic changes. And people see short-term changes. I think, I mean, if you do any meditation, at the end of that meditation per se, you will see a short-term change, because you will, you know, the moment you open your eyes post a meditation, you'll see the tranquility that you feel in your eyes and you feel in your senses. Because what meditation is essentially doing is it is helping you get your mind being nurtured by yourself. Rather than the mind controlling you, it is you who nurtures the mind. So you can direct the mind to exactly where you want. And that change you will often feel at the end of a single meditation. But to see real long-term changes, I think, you know, people who have a consistent practice for 63 to 96 days, you will typically see that.
Actually, I would like to add a few more things. There are experiential markers, right? There's one for sure, neuroscientific markers, your brain volume increases, all those things increases. But there's something called experiential markers, where your brain becomes more less present, it's more silent. People start saying it to you, okay, man, you look different, you sound different. So there are a lot of experiential changes that happen. And in my personal study, one thing that really, really at its core, matlab, the real change that comes when you meditate very regularly is you start serving naturally. The art of serving people, others, becomes a part of you. It might look too abstract, but I have observed this pattern. People who regularly meditate, they help people more naturally without friction. So this is one experiential marker which you can look for, along with what Herschel added.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
And I just want to add here also one more thing, you know, which is, you know, to your point about Nike for the mind, Nike did to running, we're doing for the mind. We think also that there is, you know, today in the world, only 0.5% of global population has a regular meditation practice, which you could call a daily regular meditation practice. So we think it's a really, really green open field, because, I mean, just the way you had an explosion in running, you had an explosion in the gym. Why? What's stopping us from taking care of our minds? And what's stopping us from nurturing and healthifying and, you know, strengthening preventively our minds? So we think that from that standpoint, the opportunities are endless. And most young people have the misconception that meditation is spiritual. No, it's not spiritual. It's probably because it comes in, you know, it's written about in the scriptures. It's not a religious practice. It's not a spiritual practice. It's a practice that really makes your mind extremely strong. And that's the, you know, that's what we want to drive to as many people as possible. And we're grateful that we have the opportunity of your podcast for so many people listen to to be able to share that message, whether they use the Level Supermind app or not, whether they do it anywhere. Our purpose is to get as many people engaged in the process of meditation. And what we've tried really hard to do is to make sure that their first step, their introduction to this journey is very, very seamless and easy in the language that they want.
That's great. So what about your personal journey? Like, what difference has meditation made in your personal life, and what ways has it improved your memory and focus?
So I'll speak about myself a little bit, and then Ayush, you could come in. You know, Ayush is a very interesting story that he's a deep Vipassana meditator. We both come from slightly different schools of meditation. And we've learned our meditation practice slightly differently. And what we're doing in Level Supermind is actually bringing together the experiences of various schools of meditation into a more modern format. That's what our focus is. But in my case, you know, I think my journey with meditation, if I look at 2020, which is when I really accelerated my meditation practice, you know, just before 2020 is when I accelerated my meditation practice. It was March 2020. Where the lockdown was announced, and April 1st, there's another company I run called Shebang. And on the 1st of April, between the 1st to the 31st of April, we saw a 75% drop in billing as compared to March. So, you know, in March, we were earning 100 rupees. In April, we earned 25 rupees. So effectively, there's a 75% drop in billing. And those are some of the most trying times of my career, where I felt like I was able to go through it, and rather than see, you know, what Ayush spoke about, seeing yourself as an instrument to serve, I think because I was at that time in a very strong meditation practice, there was more instances where we had pauses. There were more instances where I was able to step back and I was able to look at a 15-year journey as opposed to, you know, let's not look at this month. So the situation came, do we fire some of these people or do we continue on the journey? And do we really carry it through, and then we build the company further. So at that time, we were about 315 people in the company. In 3 years, we're 4x the number of people. And the journey's been fantastic. So this whole disciplined practice of meditation has helped me really go through very difficult times. And also, I mean, I've spoken about this fairly publicly as well, that, you know, I used to have a bad habit, extremely bad habit, for about 3 years odd, where I would need to smoke a joint every night before I went to sleep. And it was killing me on the inside. And this was about 5 years back. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to a mentor of mine about, you know, this issue that I was having. And she told me that you're constantly getting high because you're not high enough on your own life. And that statement hit me so hard. And she said, now that it's hit you, just take this meditation. She gave me a very specific visualization meditation. And she made me do that meditation. And that night I had the conversation with her. The night I did the meditation, overnight, it's been 5 years since then that I haven't touched a joint. I haven't touched alcohol. I changed my life around. So it was a big, you know, it was a big change for me in terms of what it did to me. And it helped me streamline my life a lot. So, you know, both these instances, in terms of the meditation being present when I was quitting my addiction, as well as the meditation being present when I was going through some of the toughest times in my career, and then actually taking a 4x leap on where I was versus that, I would credit a lot of that to a strong meditation practice. And that's one of the reasons why we're then building this product, because I'm dead sure it can really benefit lots of people to achieve their full potential.
That's actually a really inspiring story.
Yep.
Thank you.
I've seen Herschel, so I can say plus one to that. Seen the changes very closely. I mean, as a person who's practicing meditation, and as a person who's observing someone who's practicing it, like Harshil, my belief on meditation has increased multifolds because there's social validation also. Regarding my story, like, let's see, like, how I see myself. I was a very competitive student, right? Because I had to slog for the exam, crack IIT exam. And in that process of initial teens, in that phase of my life, I used to work very hard. It was very competitive, still competitive, but at that time it was comparison-wise very competitive. So my brain was, let's just say, programmed to overthink. And in a way, because of overthinking, I was doing less because my energy went into overthinking, right? Mm-hmm. And when I was introduced to meditation in Vipassana, initial 3 days was like very bad. Because you have to sit for 13 hours, nothing. In the day three, I still remember I cried. I never knew I can cry. But at that time, I was like, I won't cry. But to sit with yourself for 13 hours and do nothing is drill. And during 7th, 8th and 9th day of the practice, I realized that a lot of changes are happening and a lot of good things that are happening. Currently, having practiced meditation for some time, changes I'm observing, my mind is more calmer and silent. Earlier, it was never silent. Right now, it's, let's say, silent 40 odd minutes throughout the day. And the goal is to be silent way more, right? It's more silent. And since it's way more silent, my ability to critically think and break down any concept into axioms has increased so much. My decision-making abilities has... So let's say when I meet my friends who are of my age, and when we discuss, when we solve problems that we both are facing, the way I'm breaking down a problem because of a calmer mind, and the way my equally capable counterpart is breaking down the same problem is way different, right? And for sure, that comes with a supercharged mind. And I was reading it somewhere and it makes so much sense now. The simplest and the smartest way to upgrade your brain is the tool of meditation. I've experienced, I've played around with a lot of concepts, a lot of mental models, a lot of things. But down the line, if you are a regular practitioner of pause or meditation, your brain is capable of bringing that knowledge out. And hence, it's the smartest way to solve a lot of problems.
Right. So, Harshal and Ayush all spoke about how meditation has made a difference in your life in terms of your work, right? Can you also talk about how it has made a difference in terms of your personal relationships? Like, Harshal, for you, 5 years ago, you said, you know, you were a completely different person. You know, you'd smoke a joint every night. But like, and Ayush, while you were talking about how competitive you were. But like, after meditation, now, how do you think you're different in your personal relationships?
So one of the studies, and, you know, I've experienced this as well, and this is may not be for some people, depending on, you know, how they are. In general, a regular meditation practice will make you want to be more selective about your social appearances and how much you interact socially. Because what you tend to do once you are in a regular meditation practice is that you will want to be, you will enjoy the company of yourself a lot more because you will have awareness of yourself a lot more. You will be able to understand yourself a lot better and you will be okay to spend more time with yourself. So long-term studies on meditation show that most people who have a regular meditation practice typically become less social. So, you know, you're also and there is a link there between the stimulus and the pause that Ayush spoke about. So you will want to potentially, you know, like you may not want to feed your body the wrong kind of food. You may not want to feed your body the wrong kind of liquid. So automatically you start avoiding the situations where there is some of those things. So what's happened to me also is that I've become more closed inwards as a person. But I've become a lot more interconnected to people. So it's a dichotomy because when I'm with people, I'm able to have deeper, richer relationships in that moment. And I don't need to necessarily, I would go for 50 parties, but I don't feel the pressure to have a sip of alcohol when I'm at that party because, you know, even though it may be socially accepted to do, it's just something I don't do. So I'm more confident to tell people out there that, look, this is something I just don't do. Or that if I'm not eating dinner, that, you know, this is something that I just don't do. But at the same time, you connect deeper with people in that particular moment. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that you probably, in terms of your number of hours of time spent socially, that may reduce, or in my case, that has reduced. But the depth of the relationship in that time spent that I am spending with people has significantly increased. So it's deeper, richer relationships. Also, friendships get a lot more, how do I put it? They get a lot more meaningful and deep, yeah. So that's certainly what's happened to me over the course of this journey, that's what's helped me. So, you know, like, yeah, and I feel like that's exactly where I wanted to drive my life, and that I'm glad that it's turning out this way.
That's actually a really nice point to put forward, because for so many of us, especially since I'm in college and I'm in a residential college, I often, like, we spend so much time, we live with each other. So I see so many friendships that are for social validation more than meaningful. So I think that makes a lot of sense. It's a very important thing that we should learn in our lives, I feel.
Yeah, and I feel like it's not about, you know, it's not about people are bad or people are good. It's just that it's you choose the deepest relationships that bring you the most amount of joy. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to necessarily conform to some of the social norms that have been designed to push, you know, that we've been designed to be pushed into like a herd. So you become less part of herd mentality and you become more part of your own construct of your being. But at the same time, I think it's very important that the interconnectedness, you know, what you will often find is that a person who is a regular meditation practitioner, you'll be able to see it in their eyes in terms of how they're able to connect with people a lot more. You'll have more of a smile on their face because they're able to connect more with people around them. So the interconnectedness increases, I think, over a long run, but you're still not part of a herd.
Right. Ayush, can I also hear your views on the same?
Yeah, I mean, Harshil put it very nicely. So if I have to put it in one line, I'll say the pull and push towards unnecessary things is vanished. Like the pull to, the FOMO goes away. Right, the attraction, or let's say the point to prove ki I'm cool, so I need to drink. That entire thing becomes pointless, right? So a lot of things, the pull and push goes away if you regularly meditate. You're more connected with yourself. And since you're more connected with yourself, you are able to connect with other people. In my personal life, how the personal relationship specifically, like right now, I'm able to give more. Right, I'm able to give more. I have that, let's just say, muscle to give more than I would have given earlier. Right, and I have a famous line which I always use, that give is my God and trusteeship is my religion. So I'm able to double down on that mental model a bit more because of meditation. And if you are the one who gives more in the equation, for sure, it will last. You have to give to self also and to others equal. So that thing has been aided with the help of meditation.
Yeah, and you know, just one thing to add here is that, you know, as I'm hearing Ayush speak, I'm just reminded of the fact that so much of the conversation around mental health today is around the curative side. And that is not to diminish that. But I think having a good practice of meditation to strengthen the preventive side of your mental health, to just make your mind muscle much, much stronger, is something that we often, you know, I just feel like in this country, we're not speaking about enough. And, you know, because I think this country has a responsibility to be the, in a lot of ways, to be the North Star for the world in terms of how to utilize our minds. Because it's the land from where actually the practice of meditation originated from here. So, and also, you know, the practice of a lot of deep philosophy is seated in this land. So I think in the modern world today, and especially given India's seat in the world as a socio-economic superpower, you know, also as a creator of cultural trends, you're seeing more movies now shortlisted in the Oscars. You're seeing us in the Golden Globes. So I think also with the world of mental health, this is our contribution to the world of mental health, I think, in terms of, you know, just a large population being able to really be seated in themselves and do and fulfill their purpose.
Right. So, Harshil, you just spoke about mental health, right? So, can you tell me what is your definition of overall mental wellness? And what tips would you give from your personal experiences to achieve this state?
So, I think overall mental wellness, you know, I think the way I look at it is, I think for good, strong overall mental wellness, there are two parts to it. You know, I think that one is this preventive side of strengthening the mind muscle that we've spoken so much about. And the second is also the side of therapy, which is more to do with investigation or really, you know, kind of going to where your triggers lead you. So if we just break down triggers, actually, I think triggers are actually opportunity. Mm-hmm. So a good mental health practice, I think, is one where you are able to observe your triggers and you're able to investigate those triggers further through a practice of to what you need to kind of work on to cleanse your mind, if that's the right word. So a good mental health practice has often a good combination of both. It has a meditation practice as well as coupled with a good practice of therapy. And the therapy often being a practice where you're really following your triggers, where you're really following that, okay, this is where I got really angry, or this is where I got really, you know, like this is where I got extremely emotional. So let me follow that path and let me understand that path a little better to understand the why of why that's happening, go deeper into that. And often as you combine that with a good meditation practice, you'll be able to reach that why a lot better. Clairvoyance, that's a strong mental health tool, if you may. But I think it's equally like, yeah, I mean, and I think a meditation practice is equally and very, very important part of this whole process of having strong mental health.
Also, Harshal, you spoke about how business was not very good for you, like from March to April, it went down a lot, right?
Yeah.
Do you and I'm sure your mental health was not in the best state at that time. Do you think meditation was like a really big tool to like, you know, that helped you get through that phase and just COVID in general? Like, do you think you would have gotten through COVID without meditation?
Yeah, I mean, 100% would have gotten through it. But I think the, you know, the impact of what we have been able to deliver through this period of the COVID period would not have been equally strong. So I think, you know, it just comes down to this, right? It's like, it's the idea, and Ayush used a very good word. He said pause, a pause or a meditation. So the moment you are pausing all your senses, the moment you're pausing all the thoughts in your head, and the moment you're pausing basically your entire self, what you're automatically connecting to is you're connecting to your core. Now, your core, you may call your purpose, you know, all of those things. So you'll connect to your innermost self, the you who you really are. And when you shut all of that noise down, you connect back to that. So that's what happened to me then in 2020, because I was able to connect back to who I really was. And, you know, that's where Ranveer and me started speaking, because actually in that process of meditation, I remember that I had called onto Ranveer's podcast and I had spoken about the vision that I have, which is to, you know, to take the best company in creative and technology transformation services from India to the world and bring the best of the world into India. So that's something that I had articulated with my team, and then I said it on his podcast, and I said, look, if that's how big the vision is, if that's how big the core is, still everything down, let the noise go aside. If that's how big it is, and if that's how long we're going to think, then this 75% drop is a blip in the larger scheme of things. Have the strength and perseverance to go through it and deliver.
Right, okay. So, Harshal, you put that really well. Ayush, can I hear your views on the same?
So, it's a very nice question. So, effectively, how I see this is like the brain, our brain is a tool. And we need to use it as a tool. Right, and most time what happens is instead of using it as a tool to make life better, it becomes a weapon that is acting against us without our real control over it, right? And my understanding of a good overall mental well-being is when you from a series of compulsion action reaction changes into a series of choices, right? When you choose more rather than you choose to be angry, let's say, rather than you getting angry. When there is more of choice, these are some experiential markers of a good mental well-being. So if I have to summarize, I would say when the compulsive behavior of pull and push towards anything starts fading away, when things become more of a choice rather than more of a reaction, it's a signal that your mental well-being or you are in a good mental shape.
Okay. I think that sums it up pretty well. So, you just spoke about the 21-day challenge that Level Supermind has launched at the beginning of the new year. So, do you believe that New Year resolutions are a good way of aiding personal growth? And what are some other practices you used growing as a person?
So, you know, this is something that... So, yes, New Year resolutions, I think, are good ways. You know, any marker as a marker to make you re-remember your goals is a good marker. So whether it's a new resolution, whether it's a birthday, whether it's the start of the financial year. And we're lucky that we have so many in India. You know, you have New Year, then you have April 1, which is the start of the financial year. You have Diwali, you have the New Year, again coming back. And in the middle, you know, we have so many different regions of the country where there are different versions of the New Year. So I think these are all opportunities for us to remind ourselves to get back on track, because it's not an easy, you know, it requires effort. All of these pieces of work require effort. You're actually working on yourself to grow yourself. And I think the other thing that complements a marker like this is a strong practice of journaling. So if you do have a gratitude journal and you constantly are able to write in your gratitude journal what you're grateful for and what your priorities are, I think, you know, those are the two things that constitute a strong journaling practice, your gratitude. Because with the more things that you're grateful for and the things that you're grateful for, you will automatically tend to attract towards you. Because if your mind has been told that, oh, this makes you happy, your mind will go out and seek such more experiences. And the second is a prioritization journal, which will constantly keep you aware of, okay, where am I taking my attention? You know, going back to what Ayush spoke about, mind as a tool. It will allow you to derive from your tool the direction that it wants to achieve. So, you know, I think that's, I would say, a good complement to a meditation practice is a journaling practice. And we have both of these, you know, both of these available on the Level app. We've got a strong journaling product and we've got a meditation product. So that's what we put together. Along with, you know, the other thing that leads to happiness is good sleep and dumps of dopamine from workouts. So, you know, we've got workouts, we've got good sleep, we've got journaling, and we've got meditation. And we've got a separate affirmation tool as well. So we've really tried to bring together all the tools of self-growth to deliver, you know, in a gamified format, tools to supercharge your mind. And that's why we spoke about calling it Level Supermind.
Okay.
Right. So I've noticed that Level Supermind focuses on a very wide range of subjects. Can you give our listeners a basic idea of what exactly Level Supermind is and what work it does?
Yeah. Ayush, if you want to take that. I don't want to hog the podcast, but yeah, I mean, you're saying some amazing things, so maybe you can take everybody through that.
Level Supermind is effectively an app in your mobile phone that will help you supercharge your mind. Basically, we are focusing on helping you improve focus, memory, increasing your creativity, and gaining clarity. Now, how we are doing that? We are doing that through neuroscience-backed regional language meditation, mind muscle workouts, such workouts that are designed to improve the performance of the brain. We have journaling, as Harshil mentioned, which helps you document the thoughts and help you get more clarity in life. We have sleep stories in the app that again helps you supercharge your mind with wisdoms, with stories that has a lot of wisdoms. So that's what Level Supermind is. How we are different from lot of other apps in the market are, like, as we mentioned in the earlier few minutes back, that we have regionalization. So we have content in English, Hindi, Tamil, French, English, Hindi, Tamil, Telugu, Marathi. We are also expanding it into international regional languages. We have a gamification engine built over this content experience so that habit building becomes easy. Right, that dopamine rush because of the gamification will help you build the good habits easier. We have, like, all these, since all these things are together in one place, you don't have to jump from one app to another app. So everything, so this becomes one stop for everything that's needed, and that we ourselves practice and we have ourselves experienced the impact. It's there in one place in Level Supermind. Mm-hmm. Right now, we are targeting two major kinds of user. One is students like you who want to do great in life, and people who are in their first or second or third year of job, young driven adults. So these are the two target groups we are creating our content, creating our app for. So we are keeping in mind what's their life, what's the language they like, what's the design. So this is a brief overview of what Level Supermind
is. And we've also built a lot of this content in collaboration with over 25 experts across many different countries. So it's not just our experiences, but we've roped in a lot of various experts to help us curate as well as create the content together. So we hope you, you know, as you are listening to it and if you're interested to try it, that you do enjoy it. And I think, as we spoke about in the earlier part of the podcast, was we've really put a lot of effort, because it's people who are beginning on this journey. We've really decided to own the start of the journey. And the start of the journey to be very pleasurable and strong. And as the product evolves, you know, this gamification engine that we've built is going to be the bedrock of everything that we're going to create. So hopefully, you know, in a few months' time, you see a completely different version of this app, where really what we want to help people do is solve the habit of being able to be consistent with this practice. So, you know, two things that people have come back to us with, two broad buckets. How do I start and how do I stay steady? So those are the two things that we are solving for, and we think the gamification engine will help us do that. And hopefully, you know, as we impact more minds, maybe you'll invite us again on this amazing podcast to talk a little bit about how those lives have changed. Right now, we've already started getting some very, very positive feedback. You know, if you go to the app stores and the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store, you'll see a lot of really positive comments from people whose lives have started getting impacted. And that's one of the most gratifying things that we can get in terms of building this product. We get handwritten letters which are pasted across our office walls. We constantly speak to consumers. We speak to about 75 consumers every week, and we try to get that feedback. So it's an incredibly gratifying process to help people on this journey and to play some small part in it. Of course, the work is all done by themselves, but it's gratifying that we can play a small part.
Okay, I think that tells me a lot as a potential user, about what exactly your app is, and clears a lot of my doubts. So can we move on to the next question? Aman, do you want to add something?
Yeah, I just want to say that, Harshal, Ayush, I really admire that, you know, you all have different languages on the app. I think that's something that not people speak about, because here's the thing, right? If you all only kept it in Hindi and English, I know, like, people say, oh, India, mein Hindi sabko aati hai. Realistically, no. I mean, there are a lot of regions that people don't know Hindi. You know, they speak their own language and they don't know, they're not multilingual. So I think that's like a really important factor.
Also, because it's very important. You know, there's a reason they call it the mother tongue. Because
it's
connected to it. So there are millions of people, you know, where we want to take what has been done already with the practice of guided English meditation and give it in a mother tongue. So that people are able to connect with it. And the more you connect with it, the more regular you be with it. The more regular you be with it, the better the impact for your life. And the more people who have better impactful lives, the more collective impact to society. So that's the way we are seeing it, you know, cascade really.
Yeah, no, that's a very well thought of thing. Honestly, I really admire that, right, being in different regional languages.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So at the end, we just wanted to speak a bit about the technical or biological aspect. How can we alter the neuropsychological makeup, also known as the hardware of the brain, to favor us in our daily lives?
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure you guys have read about a lot of the studies which have been done, you know, on the minds of long-term meditators and the MRI scans that have been done on the minds of long-term meditators. So what we've seen is an increase in brain mass of long-term meditators. So the increase in brain mass has effectively, you know, kind of it changed the physiological composition of the brain. And, you know, if you just look at it from the perspective of also the, you know, what it does. So there are various stages of what is happening in our brains. One is a regular meditation practice is often strengthening our prefrontal cortex. You know, so the prefrontal cortex is the frontal part of our brain, and it's the part of the brain where your personality and your character is built up. So it's that seat which stores the character and the personality of the brain. So, I mean, I'm speaking more broadly right now, but that's broadly what the prefrontal cortex does. You know, it sort of helps you find who you are. And then there is there's the central part of your brain, which is actually connected all the way down through your spine to then the nerves which connect to your eyes and which connect to your hands and which connect to, you know, all the different parts of your body. So you will see that often when you see a person, what we call as an integrated person will often do what they are saying and what they are thinking is more in harmony. So what the practice of meditation does is it increases the connectivity from the prefrontal cortex, which is where your character and personality develops, to the central part of your brain, which is, you know, connected to your actions, your thoughts and your words. You'll be more in control of that and you'll be therefore more integrated. So that's the first advantage of a regular meditation practice. Second is, of course, the fact that this pause comes in is again because of the strengthening around the parts of our brain, like the amygdala, you know, which is responsible for impulse. So often we've seen that in people who have a regular meditation practice, the amygdala is a lot more strong and a lot more like kind of cushioned in that sense. And overall, as a ultra long-term meditation practice, we've seen increase in brain mass as well. So, you know, these are some of the physiological changes or like really what's happening inside the brain as you undertake a regular meditation practice. And at Level Supermind, we're working also on a fair bit of research that we're commissioning ourselves. So we already work with a lot of research which is publicly available, but we're also commissioning a lot of research ourselves. We're currently in the midst of a specific research which we will release this year as well. And there's an amazing book for your listeners if you want to read it. It's called The Science of Meditation. The author is Daniel Goleman.
Yes.
And there is Richard Davidson. Richard Davidson and Daniel Goleman have done an amazing compilation of various studies on meditation and about the science of meditation. And they talk a lot more in depth about what I've just explained in a very short period of time. But it has compounded benefits. So if you're listening in, whether you choose to do it on Level Supermind or not, I mean, I would really hope if you've reached this far in the podcast that you do undertake this practice, because it can have, paramount changes with respect to your mental health specifically, because you're building the mind muscle to be preventive. And, it's also getting you more focus, more memory, and higher speed of thinking. So, I mean, it's the biggest gift you can give to yourself. And we're still in the first part of the year. So I'm assuming resolutions still stand true. So it's a great resolution to take.
For sure. For sure. That is a really good book, by the way. What you just mentioned, I've been asked to read it as well. I will read it for sure. All in all, a very good episode. Just a great learning for myself.
Yeah.
And for Tanisha as well, I know. And I'm just really, I love the work you're doing. Specifically because y'all are working actually for a change, like for something, you're not working for money.
That's
very important, because nowadays, I don't know how many entrepreneurs you see are actually working towards like something as deep as y'all are working towards, like meditation and bringing meditation to India, like you mentioned. I think that's something that really stood out for me, something that I really admire about y'all, and try to work in being this way myself. So thank you honestly for doing this. I really, really appreciate it. I look
thank
to
you
all, of y'all, all three of y'all.
Yeah.
Every single day. And
thank you. And thank you so much.
Before I end, I usually sum up the episode myself, but I would want y'all to do it. Like, just, is there something that you want to tell the listeners before we end?
Yeah, I think I'll leave the last words to Ayush. He deserves the last word.
Do not believe what other people are saying. I mean, do not believe what other people are saying. Try and have faith and try. And then most of the things will happen. But do not run away from trying. Try meditation, try exploring, whatever. But do try new things.
And to everyone who's listening, thanks for listening. And I'll see you in the next episode.